Tomorrow morning we'll be davening Shacharis at a later time at 8 o'clock because there's going to be school in session. It was decided by the powers that be that we're going to be davening in the main sanctuary tomorrow morning so as not to interfere with the school. Today I'd like to discuss a little bit about the first paragraph in the Shemoneh Esrei and its significance, which will hopefully give us a little bit of an insight as to why this is the particular paragraph chosen to begin the Amidah. It's brought down in the Sefer Pardes, quotes the Gemara in Brachos, Tanya ha-mispalel sarach shechaven es libo bekulon, that a person, when they daven the Shemoneh Esrei, a person really should have the proper kavana for all the brachos. If a person cannot have the proper intention for all the paragraphs, it's too difficult. At least have some kavana for at least one of the paragraphs. And then the Gemara says, which one is this referring to? So Amar Rav Safra Mishum Chad Debei Rav Ba'avos. It's referring specifically to the first paragraph, that of the first paragraph, which is called Avos. Now, what is so significant about this paragraph? So it's brought down in the Kolbo, which I've never actually done so, but he says that Nimsa Bezos HaBracha, we find by this particular paragraph, Membeis Tevos, that we find that there's a significance to the amount of words found there, which are 42, which is Keneged Shem Membeis, which corresponds to the name of Hashem, one of his names, which is 42. Al-Kain Amru Zal Shetzarech Loimer Zos HaBracha B'Kavana Gadol Yosem Shabrachos. So he says that Hashem's name is incorporated in this entire first paragraph. So there's obviously something very unique and special about the bracha of the paragraph of Avos. Now what exactly is this? So it's brought down that the way one could study each paragraph of the Amidah is by looking at the very end, the conclusion of that paragraph. So we have this bracha which concludes Bracha to Hashem Magen Abraham, that Hashem is the shield of Abraham. And this is actually taken from a pasuk in the Torah and Parshas Lech Lecha by the right before the Bris Ben Besar, and the pasuk says, Achar Devar Me'el, after these things, Hay Devar Hashem El Avram B'machzeh Lemor, that Hashem appeared to Avram, and he said, quote, Al Tira Avram, do not be concerned, do not be afraid, Anochi Magin Loch Secharcha Harbi Ma'od. That's the end of the pasuk. And Hashem assures Avram, at that time he was still Avram, Anochi Magin Loch, that I will be your protector, or literally, I'll be your shield. So based on this pasuk, Lech Lecha, of Anochi Magin Loch, we say Magin Abraham, that Hashem is Abraham's shield. And perhaps this could be alluding to, throughout Abraham's life, he was protected by things which really, according to nature, Teva should have killed him. First of all, we know the story, the episode by King Nimrod, that he was thrown into the Kishon Eish, the fiery furnace, and miraculously was able to survive the by or caused him. We also know that elsewhere he was protected. He was there was a shield by him when he was going to take his nephew Lot, who was captured by the four kings, and he had a very small army of 318. Perhaps it was only he and Eliezer. Nonetheless, he was able to miraculously win this war. So it's clear that when we refer to Abraham, he certainly was Magen Abraham. There was some type of special protection. The question is, what does this have to do with the Shemoneh Esrei? What's the significance of Hashem protecting Avraham, that's really the theme that sets the tone for the entire Midah? And furthermore, how could we say that Avraham was allowed to be somech al anes? You're not allowed to rely on a miracle. How was he allowed to go and to fight this army to be able to get Lot? It doesn't make any sense. You know, unfortunately he was captured. There's no way, against those odds, he'd be able to win without a miracle. So how could he be so much holiness? So to answer these questions, I'd like to present the famous question of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He asked the question about when we all throughout the day, and certainly in the Amidah, we say brachos. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem. Now generally when a person hears the word bracha, a person would go to a Rebbe, go to a post, some great tzaddik, and ask for a blessing. Why? Because I'm missing something, I'm lacking something in my life, and I'm asking him to give me a blessing. Therefore, Rav Chaim Volozhin asks, it's very difficult to understand that when we say a bracha to God, it seems as though we're saying that God is missing, He's lacking, and we're filling that void. But God, in essence, is perfect, is complete, doesn't need our brachos. So Rav Chaim Volozhin explains that the word bracha, the shorish, the root of that word, is not blessing. Rather, the shorish of bracha is brecha, which means to gush or to flow forward. Which means what we're doing is we're saying that Hashem is the source of all things, and we acknowledge that Hashem created the world and is the source that flows into and that nurtures the world. So when we say and make a bracha, what we're doing is we're asking for Hashem to allow this blessing and energy to flow and to nourish the world. Which explains a very fundamental question about Shemot Esrei in general. Because when a person, let's say you have a child, and the child wants a cookie, and keeps asking the mother, can I have a cookie? And the mother says no. And then an hour later, the mother is again asked by this child, can I have a cookie? And he asks and asks and asks, becomes a nuisance. No is no. So how come in the Amidah, the Shemot Esrei, we're standing in front of Hashem, just like this child, asking for wealth, we're asking for health, we're asking for all these different things, for knowledge, and if we didn't get it, Hashem is saying no. So how come we're not similar to this child who is apparently a nuisance to the mother? So my Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Zweig explains that that's not the purpose of what Shemot Esrei is. The Amidah is not just that we're asking for things that we're missing. But what we're saying when we say Rifa'enu is we're saying that we are in the need of health and that you, God, are, like the bracha, the source of all health. And without God, we would not be able to have that. When we say Baruch Aleinu, it's the same thing. We're asking for success, for parnasa, for wealth. But we're also saying that Hashem is the source for that bracha. And that's what we're doing. And therefore, when we say the Shemona Esrei three times a day, we're not acting like we're a nuisance, but we're doing quite the opposite. We're showing that we are completely dependent on God for us to survive, for our survival. And in fact, this is what's brought down in the words of the Ravan, which is Rabbi Lezer Bar Nosson, who died not too much after Rashi. Rashi passed away in 1140. Rabbi Lezer Bar Nosson passed away in 1170. He says that when we look at the Shemona Esrei, it's interesting the times that a person bows. He says, Baruch Rishona, during the first paragraph we bow down. V'shochabat b'tchil v'sof, the beginning at the end. Shedoma l'adam shenichnas l'tnei ha-melech, because we're supposed to envision as though we are standing in front of a king, l'daber to speak. U'mishtachle v'chnisaso, and when you enter into his royal palace, standing in front of this powerful king, you bow down. Shehizchel l'daber devar, before you're able to speak. And then he says, at the end of the toward the end of the Shemona Esrei, which we have modim, that we're thanking Hashem, mishtach v'tchil v'sof, we also bow down, lefi shemodim achar avoda, because we've already fulfilled asking for things, the eved she'avad l'rabo nifter mena mishtach avoda, that when a servant leaves, parts from his master, he also bows down to him to show that respect. And he actually quotes the words in Divrei HaYomim that says the word modim really means, the proper translation is hishtachava, is bowing down. And he says at the very end of the Shemona Esrei of the bracha of Bircha Shalom is because when a person parts from his king, from his master, then he gives him, he says, Lech Shalom, he says to go in peace. And therefore, the significance of what the Rabban is telling us is that the purpose of the Amidah and the Shemona Esrei, and when we bow, is that we're showing that we are completely subservient, that we are like avadim, we're considered like servants in front of our master. The Talmud says that, for example, if a servant would find an object on the ground and he picks it up, that doesn't belong to him. Ein kinyan l'eved b'lo rabo. Rather, it belongs to his master. And that's what we're saying. When we're standing in front of our Shemot Esrei, we're acknowledging that God is the master's control of the entire universe. With this said, we can now understand the paragraph of Avos. That our paragraph of Avos is showing who are the greatest avadim, servants to Hashem. Certainly it's our Avos, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And one of them is Magen Avraham, Avram Avinu. The Avram Avinu passed 10 nisyonos, 10 incredible tests. And the only way he was able to do it, how he was able to pass these incredible tribulations, is because he did not have his own agenda. When he had these difficulties that stood in his way, he realized that his job was to be completely subservient to God. And therefore he was able to pass all these tests. And therefore, mida k'neged mida, appropriately, he was given the sechar, the reward of magen Abraham, that Hashem was his shield, because Abraham was only doing things for God's will. And therefore, based on this, we should all be zoch, we should also merit to strive the level, to be like our avos, and specifically Abraham Avinu, that we should say about ourselves, magen Abraham, that Hashem will be our shield.